see 200 faces in that brief time, all made in the image of God. And I want to just highlight that this morning, the importance of that. And as you get your Bibles ready to journey into the Scriptures with me, I want to encourage you as well, either your paperback Bible or your electronic Bible, we're going to be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So let's find our way there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 17. And you know my custom, just in case, we have so many young people in the Lord, young spiritually. So just find that Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, where you'll find that. So we're thrilled to be together, so honored always to bring the Word of God, and for you who are here and have brave coming outdoors in this beautiful climate that we have in Southern California, let alone Huntington Beach, and to gather around the Word of God. So you who continue to be with us online, thank you. You are every bit a part of us. We thank God for you. And we're taking a look at today's message. It is entitled, Focus on Christ, Not on Crisis. That's today's message. So you can see that on your screen. It's important for us, once again, we're going to 2 Corinthians. What is important for us to remind ourselves in this season that we find our nation in is to remind ourselves biblically, it is very clearly laid out, just in a natural sense, but certainly biblically, that every human being, that we have all been made by God. That's important for us. Not only have we all been made by God, we've all been made in the image of God. And the other thing is, we want to highlight that we have all been made distinct with variety. That even means skin color. Isn't that amazing? And then the fourth is really important as well, that we have all been charged to come and have fellowship with God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing us to the Father because of Jesus Christ on the cross. So it's with that in mind, we want to take a look at a few things. And Father, as we just bow our heads in recognition, if anything comes through, it's going to be because of your doing. So Holy Spirit, lead us, open the Word of God, open our hearts once again to the love of God and the respect and admiration and the beauty with which you make people so unique and distinct. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I like the fact that being American, I sure like being in America. We are all Americans. It's called the melting pot of the world. Matter of fact, we stand on some things written called the Constitution. Literally, just starting off, we hold these evidence, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Now, that's important for us because we recognize God, the divine creator, has made everything. That's the beauty of maintaining the Bible in our institutions, prayer, even the Ten Commandments. It keeps civility at hand. What will it be like when we all are gathered around the throne? Well, if we were to take a look, let me just read something before we actually dive into the passage I asked you. But let me just read how that in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John the Apostle says, this is what heaven looks like around the throne. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Every human being created by God, he wants to redeem every man, woman, boy, and girl. It's wonderful. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. Matter of fact, we know the scripture so clearly because it doesn't show any particular race or creed. It just literally says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, why it says so clearly that it says, there is neither now Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. That's why we're taking a look at today the importance of focus on Christ, not on crisis. Focus on Christ. If there's going to be that call for change, then it has to go right back to the one who's made us all. We do have a challenge. There's great division that always crops up, and that's called racism. And basically, what is racism? What is racism? Because everybody's calling it this, that, or the other thing, from political bents to people just shouting out. But racism really is where there is a race that thinks they are superior to others. Naturally, that cuts across the heart of God, the design of God. It really does rip apart everything that God and as people we know and understand. So it's important for us once again. Thank you, our founding fathers that started America based on biblical principles. But sometimes things have to be reminded. That's why we have voices out there to say, hey, wait, we all matter. And I'm glad for that, aren't you? But as people of God, or you who are watching, or you who are with us even this morning, it is important for us to recognize, where do we go from here to bring a point of direction and even change? Well, that's where now we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you look there on your screen? I have it listed there for you. But let me read. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have another translation, it's great. Just follow along with me. It says, therefore, verse 17 starts, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I just want to pause there. It's tremendous. It's called a ministry of reconciliation. So we're going to look at what that is. But God is calling people who have been called to him, reconciling us through Jesus. He's given us a ministry of reconciling others to him. Let's take a look here. We'll go on. Verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. That means sin. To them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How did he go about doing it? It's very clear in verse 21, for he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, the sinless Son of God, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a great exchange. I personally have given him all my bad upon Jesus. And for whatever mercy and grace and love of God, he gives me in exchange all the good that was due his sinless Son, his righteousness. What a tremendous thing. What a great thing to tell everyone. And so as we continue our 3 points today, our first point, naturally, focus on Christ. Can you see that point? Letter A in your notes says we are reconciled to God. Let's just start with so many of our own experiences here. We've been reconciled to God. What happened? Verse 17, let's go back to our text. If you'll notice there in your scriptures, says, therefore, if anyone, how about anyone? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Boy, that's an amazing thing. And it says, now all things are of God, who basically has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So when we take a look at that word reconciliation, really it's katharos, which means literally change, or literally the change thoroughly, or change truly. That's what it really means. Reconciliation. There is a distinct change that original language means that has happened to the person. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when I hear people say we need change in our way of doing national business, this is real change, the change that God is asking. That's why we want to focus on Christ. Where will change happen? I know my life has changed. There's been change in my attitude, I don't pretend to be perfect, but the idea of how I see things and function is so changed the way I approach my life. It's an amazing thing. There's another approach to this change truly aspect of reconciliation. It literally means this. It means hostility turned to friendship. That's a tremendous change. A person that has been reconciled to God through Jesus wants to feel and experience a freedom and a friendship with a relationship that God wants with all of us. It's a beautiful thing. How many remember when you were growing up, when you were in grade school and there was that bully in the campus? And you had three ways to deal with that bully who was picking on you. You could punch him in the peepers, or you could go ahead and run, or you could go ahead and take your allowance and buy a toy and present it to that bully and make him your friend. That's a pretty amazing way to go about that, where you have the opportunity, and that's what God has done for us. There was hostility with each individual and God. God says, I'm going to make a way for you to be reconciled. Hostility turned to friendship. I honestly enjoy having a relationship and a friendship with Almighty God. He's very real. He's a being who's wanting to be very involved with your life and mine. So let's take a look, because we deal with the aspect then about number two, focus on Christ, not on crisis, somewhat of our title. But letter A, we should be reconciling ourselves with each other. We should be reconciling with each other. That's important. When we look at verse 19, talks about that. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Which means if God is wanting to forgive others their trespasses, how many know what a trespass sin is? It's kind of like you know not to do this. It's kind of like the sign on the fence, no fishing. But you say, ha! I'm going to just climb over that fence because I know there's some big mouth bass in that lake. And you're trespassing. That's what people are doing. God's going to forgive us our trespass sins, and he's asking us to forgive one another, to be reconciled. So if we take a look only at the crisis that could be about in your life, you're going to forget even looking at Christ, because sometimes crisis can be a deterrent from really enjoying that relationship that God has for us. So let's focus in on Christ, not on the crisis. Jesus was so convinced you should focus on getting things right with one another that in Matthew chapter 5, you might want to write that down, verse 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, if you go to the altar and you bring a gift, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift right there. First go and be, the word, there it is, reconciled, and then offer your gift to God. That's how important it is. God's saying, I'd be willing to lay down the worship you have for me, but if I remind you by the Holy Spirit that you have issues with a brother, you lay that gift down, go make it right first. I think that's important, don't you, when it comes to dealing with each other? The important focus on Christ first. But how are we going to deal with crisis? Let's make it right. Let's be reconciled. Our brothers, we are all family in Christ especially. I am a sinner. People are sinners. Therefore, we recognize we're not in heaven quite yet. And there are areas of brokenness in all of our lives. Therefore, let's make sure we get a chance to be merciful. God has forgiven us through Christ. Let's forgive. Let's reconcile. Let's bring it together. I like the story of about a husband and wife. Over the death of their son, the tension there, and they separated, divorced. The father of the boy moved away, but on the anniversary of the death of his son, he returned back to the grave, and he stood there in sorrow over the death of his son, and he heard footsteps behind him, only to recognize somebody stand next to him and grab his hand. It was the mother of the boy. And they reconciled over the grave of their son. You know, that's really how God the Father is. We reconcile with people. Hostility turned to friendship over the death of Jesus. That's how we come. That's the importance of it. Number three, we want to focus on Christ, not on crisis, to fulfill our commission, to fulfill the commission that you and I have. What is that commission? We call it the Great Commission, to get the good news out beyond ourselves. If there's hostility around, we're going to feel like we have to continue to throw water or some kind of appeasement. It's all good if it brings reconciliation together, but the ultimate goal, focus on Christ, not on crisis. Let's make sure we get our commission going again to share the love of God, that element of bringing friendship. Once hostility, friendship. And that verse 19, once again, of 2 Corinthians, it says that that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. You who have faith in Jesus, you are an ambassador. You're really passing through this world. You really belong to another world. You're an ambassador representing another dimension, that heavenly realm. But it says here in verse 20, Now then we are. When? Now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, who gave his life for everyone. On Christ's behalf, he did this for all of you. On Christ's behalf, he's the one that's wanting us to come and tell you, be reconciled to God. How did he do that? Why and when? Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, or in him. Man, what an amazing exchange. I give him all my sin. I receive all his righteousness. What a great story that is. A clear path. It's an amazing thing. Time is so short. Time really is short. It's amazing when you take a look even in Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8. If you were to read that, when the disciples said, Lord, when will your coming be? What will be the signs of your coming? And he lays it out in Matthew 24, 6 through 8. He says that nations will rise against nations. That Greek word is ethnos, or ethnicity, or groups of people rising against others. But he says, don't let this trouble you. Read it. It'll say that. And he says there'll be nations rise against nations, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, various places. This is the beginning of sorrows, he said. So time is short. Time is short. It's important for us, once again, to recognize, God, where do we begin? Let's be reconciled to Christ. Then I find there are people who still have attitudes against me or I against them. Let's be reconciled to each other, because the mission to share the love of God, our responsibility to clear a pathway for people to find salvation in Jesus, to deep, basic human needs of every person. They really do want to feel like they're right with God, and they really do want to feel like they are right with each other. That's available today. Let's tell others. One of the joys of getting ready to remind ourselves why we are so loved by God is having communion. And I want to encourage you now. I'm going to welcome Ainsley up. She's going to bring communion elements. And you who are here, thank you for being here. You may have received a communion cup on your way in. Just to let you know, there's a wafer on the top. That's not a label. That is actually your communion bread. And so as you who are home are taking a look at how to go about having communion with us, would you please do that? We want to remind ourselves how we are loved by God so much so. Just like the scripture says, greater love has no one than this, Jesus declared. that he lays down his life for his friends. So I'm going to invite you, the foil represents the loosening up of that wafer, and then the cellophane in a moment will have the juice together. So,
it's the other way around.
Okay, well, the cellophane. Yes, the cellophane, then the foil. Yeah. That's right. You can see I don't really do wrapping in the kitchen too much. But as you hold your portion up, everybody good with that? We are so honored once again. This is a moment where we get a chance to remind ourselves there's healing in the atonement, which means Jesus on the cross. Healing for our bodies, healing for relationships, healing for our nation in Jesus. We're focusing in on Jesus. And if you're here and watching, or you're here and participating, what a great opportunity to say, I believe that and give my life to him. We are confessing what Jesus says. This is my body. This is my blood. You enjoy this as often as you do to remind yourself of my death till I come again. He's coming again. So, honey, would you like to, as we lift our portion up, lead us in prayer for the bread first?
Yes. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we want to thank you. We're so grateful to you. We're grateful to you for sending Jesus, and that as his body took whip after whip after stripe, that was for healing of our bodies, whether we're sick physically through COVID or any other sort of sickness affecting our bodies, or whether we need healing for other bodies, our relationships, our mind, our heart. We've been very troubled. You took those stripes on your back so that we could be healed, and we pray that right now, that you bring your healing to every person who calls on the name of Jesus, to bring your healing to their body, to their mind, to their heart. And we thank you, Lord, and we pray an extension of that healing to spread to our cities and to our nation. And we ask, Lord, for the healing that only you can bring.
Praise God.
And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and participate together.
Thank you, Lord.
As we lift our cup, I'm so proud of this church and many of you who joined us for intercessory prayer on Thursday night. We recognize the agony with which we saw so much uprising, protest, legitimate voices, but it turned to something that just was not legal. So we want to remind ourselves of the heart of God and how there's just been peace over our nation. Have you seen it? God's been answering our prayers. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we saw where we base it and remind ourselves where the reason why we pray for all men, but especially those in authority, says, because God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I want to just thank the Lord once again. There's a mediator between us and God. If you've never heard that, Jesus is the one who wants to bring you to the Father. And as we who have confessed our sins to the Lord and have invited Christ to be our Savior, this is a wonderful reminder why we are even accepted into the family of God. So, as we lift our portion, I want to invite you now, let's open that cup up, okay? And you who may have, whether it's juice or water, it's still that element that we believe. So Ainsley, would you like to go ahead and lead us in that?
Yes. The shedding of Jesus' blood was for the forgiveness of sin. And we still sin. And we see the effects of sin all around us. We see the effects of sin, and the only answer for it is through Jesus Christ, because only he can wash our sins away. And I'm mindful, the Holy Spirit is good to remind me of my sin and how I fall short and how my thoughts are impure and how they're wrong, how they don't please God, but that He made a way for those sins to be forgiven, and I am so grateful.
Me too.
I need the blood of Jesus Christ as much today as I needed it the day I got saved and gave my heart to Christ, and I'm grateful. And so it's with a special thought, as Jesus said, remember my death until I come. I'm really thinking about it right now. I'm really thinking about what the blood of Jesus Christ provided for me and for each one who believes in what He's done. So Jesus, we come before You, and as we hold our cup and we look at it, we thank You for Your blood. We thank You for Your blood that was shed for humanity. Every person that You created in Your image, You died for. And we ask that You forgive us, Lord. We think of our sin right now, and we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that lets us know when we've transgressed, when we have done wrong, whether in thought or whether in deed. And so as we take this now, we thank You for what You provided. We thank You for washing our sin away. You didn't just cover it, You took it away. And You did it through Your blood. So we're grateful, and we take it in honor of You, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's go ahead together. Praise God. Well, I want to just say what a beautiful way to begin the regathering of Hope Chapel, and how we have gathered together with you today too. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. So many great breakthroughs are happening, and we contribute it to the power of God in answer to your prayers. Thank you. I want to thank you who are here as well, who ventured out and decided, hey, we want to go outside and we want to, once again, just be those testimonies to our community. And so I want to thank you. For you who are watching, I want to now just want to thank you for being a part of things. I want to send you off with a blessing. If you will remain online, you're going to see I'll come back and want to thank you for watching and ways with which for you to participate financially to the ministry here at Hope Chapel, especially you who continue to be self-quarantined. We know that we honor the Lord through our tithes and through our offerings, but we thank God for the many, many ways with which you have been praying for us. There have been outstanding miracles that have been taking place, and we know that you're a part of that, maybe even a miracle. I know I am. So as we conclude right now, I want to thank you and say God bless you according to Numbers 6, verse 24, God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He cause His countenance, means His favor, may He cause His countenance to come upon you and continue with that graciousness over you. God, that peace over your house. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.